So what I'm going to do today is to do two things. First of all, begin by just thanking you all as participants at this conference for making this conference such a fabulous event over the past 4 days. I'd also like to thank the conference organizers, and I want to specifically mention the conference co-chairs as well as Judy Lipschutz, who really have put on a fantastic meeting this year. And this really is building upon the very strong tradition of very strong STD prevention conferences. I hope that you're leaving this conference inspired, you're leaving this conference refreshed, and you're leaving this conference motivated to change, because when we know better, we should do better. So it's also good to be back in Chicago for me, because Chicago has a very special place in my heart. In fact, Chicago is one of the first places that I actually visited in my new role as the center director of this National Center for HIV/AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention. And many of you in the room know that I've been conducting a series of site visits across the country over the past 2 years. And the purpose of the site visits are really to better examine and better explore aspects of the implementation, aspects of the integration of our prevention programs in local jurisdictions, and to begin to work more closely with colleagues to understand what are some of the drivers for integration, what are some of the challenges you have with integration, and certainly, what are your hopes and dreams as far as integration is concerned. So, 2 years ago, in fact, in July of 2006, we visited Chicago, and it was an amazing visit because there we met with leaders both from Chicago, from the Cook County Health Department, from the Department of Health in Illinois, and we were completely blown over by the caliber of leadership and the inspirational thinking that is taking place in Chicago regarding the delivery of programs. We were able to visit a number of sites in Chicago. We visited the Howard Brown Center, where we looked at LGBT health and ways in which services were being integrated at the Howard Brown Center. We looked at the Cook County Jail, where we visited the Cook County Jail, where we were able to explore and examine integrated services in the correctional setting. We visited a number of health centers in the jurisdiction here in Chicago, for example, CORE, as well as the Englewood Health Center. And there we were truly inspired by the leadership of our field workers, our colleagues working at the coalface, trying to make do with diminishing budgets, trying to make do with increasing patient numbers, but looking at ways of ensuring that integration and collaboration really took place at the interface with the client. Now, since that time, we've really been across the country. We've visited a number of other jurisdictions, with each site visit revealing more complexity and providing many more deeper insights into program collaboration and service integration. And during these trips, we've really seen amazing and wonderful examples of how collaboration can take place. It's not rocket science, and many of you in the room are doing fantastic collaborative efforts every day. We saw, for example, STD clinic staff who were working to routinize HIV testing in keeping with CDC's 2006 recommendations with little or no funding. And these staff were committed to doing this because it was an effective strategy, because it was a cost-effective strategy, because it was appropriate, and because it was the right thing to do. We have seen TB clinic staff across the country who, not content with currently testing up to 75% of their patients for HIV and uncovering the co-infection between TB and HIV, we saw innovation in TB clinics and TB practices around the country trying to do better in terms of increasing the proportion of patients who are HIV screened. And again, our colleagues in TB clinics are doing this because it was appropriate, effective, cost-effective, and because it was the right thing to do for their clients. We had a chance to meet with heroic, and I use this word selectively, heroic viral hepatitis coordinators who have often very little budgets or very little central funding and who are able to implement some of the most innovative and creative partnerships for integrating the prevention of hepatitis A and B vaccination within clinical settings, or integrating hepatitis C screening within clinical settings across the country. And again, they were doing this because this was the appropriate, cost-effective, effective, and the right thing to do. And finally, we had a chance to meet with outreach workers from every walk of life across the country, people who are really doing outreach workers with some of the most marginalized sectors of our population. And they were merging funds from a variety of sources, using monies from HIV, from CDC, from HRSA, and from SAMHSA, and integrating at the point of service delivery, again, because it was the right thing to do. So these site visits have become an essential part of my leadership of the National Center, and this year we're going to be prioritizing visits to look at particularly rural areas in the United States, and we'll be visiting Indian country in approximately 3 weeks' time, and I'm really looking forward to meeting with our colleagues in the southwestern part of the United States, and we'll be visiting the Navajo Nation as well as the Tohono O'odham Nation as well. And this will be a joint site visit with the Indian Health Service because we're really looking at ways of working more closely together across federal agencies. My hope is that these visits will continue to promote both national and local dialogues on program collaboration and integration, as well as be a tool to improve the lives and health of all Americans everywhere and in every stage of life. So this morning I've been asked to reflect on an aspect of critical program movement, which is integrating STDs with other programs. And I'm obviously delighted to speak about this because clearly this is something that I'm personally very passionate about. And part of this passion comes from my own background of having been trained in the United Kingdom, where our model of prevention is one of focusing on sexual health. So moving the rhetoric away from disease prevention, disease identification and treatment towards a model of health. But part of my passion is also derived from a very strong personal conviction that program collaboration and service integration is in fact a structural intervention in its own right, one that promotes more client-centered, cross-fertilized and cost-effective prevention services, and is precisely the kind of strategy that will be required to effectively tackle both health disparities for infectious diseases, as well as promote a more health-oriented approach to our work. So the purpose of my talk this morning is threefold. First, I'm going to be focusing and providing an update on the progress of CDC on the development of a new programmatic initiative, program collaboration and service integration. And second, I'll begin to describe ways in which we're changing the culture of our National Center to promote integration and the multifaceted approach that we're adopting at CDC to do this. And then finally, I'd like to reflect on what I think are some key and simple and straightforward steps that we can all do to accelerate our progress towards better collaboration and integration, and indeed to accelerate our progress towards greater health impact. So as I go through this presentation today, I'm going to be using a framework for ensuring success in change management and consequently the execution of our public health programs. This is going to be a data-free presentation. You've seen what I think are fantastic data slides for the last 4 days. And really what I'm going to be doing over the next 20 minutes or so is to focus on leadership. Because when we know better, we should do better. And one of the difficulties that we have in public health is knowing the science and knowing the program. But perhaps the weakness that we may have in moving forward and indeed moving forward from this conference will be what are our responsibilities as leaders to ensure that knowing better indeed translates into doing better. So you know the steps of successful change management. I've just put these up here to guide us through the presentation today. Any successful change, whether this is you going back into your local jurisdictions and changing behaviors, will require you identifying and articulating and disseminating a very clear vision for what you want that change to be, for you to develop a clear pathway and key steps and milestones for moving forward, for you to enlist and the support of willing partners and coalitions. You will need to identify barriers and opportunities for execution, and you will need to identify, disseminate, and encourage the uptake of best and promising practices. And finally, as you move forward, you're going to have to evaluate to ensure that what you're setting out to do is indeed being achieved. So let's use this framework then to understand how we're moving forward with conceptualizing and implementing program collaboration and service integration as a national priority at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So at the beginning of this work, colleagues at CDC felt that it really was important that we articulated and disseminated a clear vision of what PCSI, or Program Collaboration and Service Integration, is, what we were likely to achieve, and to consider what success would look like in the long term. We therefore began by defining PCSI. And we have here the operational definition that we're using currently at CDC, where PCSI is a mechanism of organizing and blending interrelated health issues, separate activities, and services in order to maximize public health impact through new and established linkages between programs to facilitate the delivery of services. This definition has now been used across CDC and is being used by other parts of the agency and other national centers. We then articulated a possible vision and goals for program collaboration and integration, which I've highlighted on this slide. And it was again important to articulate this vision so that all prevention workers and certainly all of our staff at CDC in every part of the country would have a very clear roadmap for what we wanted to achieve and the nature and form of this shared vision. And I believe that this goal really succinctly describes what we want to achieve in program collaboration and service integration, which is a seamless blending of services to clients, which will in turn accelerate achieving our health impact. We were very clear at CDC that PCSI is not about combining services just for the sake of doing so, but that when services are combined, they must be relevant, they must be appropriate, they must be acceptable to clients and staff, they must be affordable and achievable. We also believe that PCSI, program collaboration and service integration, must be flexible. It must allow for differences in local contexts, differences in local epidemics, and differences in the resources which are available to facilitate collaboration and integration. And we know that this flexibility is indeed what we're currently seeing across the country. So the idea then is to ensure that we are able to identify best practices for program collaboration and service integration, and to ensure that we are continually adding to the evidence of what is effective for PCSI, and ensure that this is disseminated widely. So here we have some of the key principles which underline program collaboration and service integration. The next step in our journey was to develop a very clear pathway and key steps and milestones for sharing and achieving the vision. Last January 2007, CDC began working on our green paper, and this is a policy paper which is really for discussion and deliberation on program collaboration and service integration. And by June of last year, we completed the first draft of this document, much due to the leadership of Susan Delisle, who currently works with me as the Associate Director in the Center for Program Integration. I hope by now all of you in the room have had a chance to view this document. It's available on the CDC website. I would argue that it's a great starting point for outlining not only the vision for program collaboration and service integration, but it also outlines CDC's core principles for PCSI, the values behind collaboration and integration, and how we envision it being classified and applied across the United States. The document also includes a number of barriers to integration and the multi-pronged action steps that will be required for us to move forward with this priority. The green paper was reviewed internally and then subsequently externally at a consultation which was held by CDC in August of 2007. And many of you in this room were actually present at that consultation. And I'd like to personally thank you for your leadership and your support and your insightful comments on this initial policy paper and its content. The consultation itself was a huge success, and we achieved our objectives in identifying three priority areas. And the three priority areas are highlighted in this slide. First of all, the consultation attendees argued that CDC should really focus our efforts on opportunities for promoting integrated surveillance, that we should focus efforts on training on program collaboration and service integration and looking for opportunities for integrated training, And thirdly, that we should prioritize our activities to accelerate the use of program announcements to support and enhance funding for program collaboration and service integration. So I'd like to share with you some of the outcomes in a little bit more detail from the consultation. As far as integrated surveillance is concerned, the attendees really asked us to focus on promoting opportunities for integrated surveillance reports. How do we begin to tell the story by using our surveillance data on how our epidemics are evolving? How do we begin as an agency to set standards for sharing data across programs, especially at the local level? And what guidelines can be produced for integrated data with common demographics, common variables, and common definitions? Attendees also asked us to address confidentiality issues and to create a gold standard for confidentiality across our programs. So no single program within the National Center would be held to a higher standard necessarily than others. We were also asked to focus on and develop surveillance systems that work with and across programs. As far as integrated training efforts were concerned, we were asked to develop and provide flexible funding for training, to look at integrated and comprehensive guidelines for training on integration. So in other words, how do we begin to skill up our key public health workers on what integration means at the local level? We were also asked to develop program announcements that include common language and objectives to address the center's diseases through training, and that training centers should be required to have integrated training curricula. In the third priority area arising from the consultation, we were asked to look at opportunities for integrated funding through looking at integrated program announcements, collaboration on program announcements and post-award management, looking at incentives for state and federal funding to support integration, to focus on incentives for in-kind funds or to require matching funds from states to promote integration. We were asked to look at reprioritization of funds at a CDC level, perhaps to have dedicated funding streams which could pump prime integration at the local level, and to have reporting and evaluation components which would support our funding arrangements. We were also asked to fund pilots and demonstration projects, which would really help to contribute to the evidence base for program collaboration and integration. So as we have developed this vision and we have articulated these priorities, what can you do to support this effort? Well, I think if you've not already done so, I would really encourage you to read the Green Paper. And it's available, again, on our CDC website. It really highlights what CDC is attempting to do as far as collaboration and integration is concerned and how we're going to be going about doing this. I also want to encourage you to use the Green Paper to begin having conversations at the local level. Begin having conversations with your colleagues in HIV, in tuberculosis, or with your hepatitis coordinator on your local integration efforts. And finally, think about what collaboration and integration means to you and to your leadership as you work every day in your setting. I especially urge you to think about your personal and organizational core values on integration and collaboration, and to self-evaluate whether you're taking every opportunity to really move forward on better collaboration and integration at the local level. Now, a third key element of our work in moving forward with PCSI is to enlist the support of our partners and to develop coalitions in the journey. And I'm really pleased to report that there have been no shortage of partners who've been with us along this journey since we started to look at opportunities for national leadership on PCSI last year. From the proactive engagement of our professional partners such as NCSD, NASTAD, the National TB Controllers Association, or the National Viral Hepatitis Roundtable, to individual state, county, STD, HIV, and TB programs, to academics who are keen to support the development of a research agenda around PCSI, and to our colleagues in other federal agencies who are excited about the work that we've begun doing at the national level. The support for this has truly been overwhelming as this has become a major priority for CDC, and we are enthused by the enthusiasm of so many of you who've written emails and letters to CDC to give us your feedback. You've really helped us to ensure that we're moving along the right track and at the right pace. But our partners have not only supported our work verbally, but many have enhanced their own activities around program collaboration and service integration, or have developed new initiatives in support of the CDC priorities. So, for example, NCSD has ensured that over the past 2 years, CDC leaders have been invited to speak at their annual meetings on program collaboration and service integration to identify ways in which this priority can be implemented. NASTAT has consistently included PCSI in its annual meetings and has particularly focused on ensuring that CDC division and center-level priorities and leaders from the divisions are speaking together within the same room on the vision, on their vision for program collaboration and integration and on the implementation of this priority. NASTAT has also taken national leadership on integrating viral hepatitis prevention into its prevention portfolio and ensuring that we maximize opportunities for integrating Hep B vaccination or Hep C screening into routine HIV care. And we'll be meeting shortly with our prevention training center partners to look at opportunities for truly enhancing the work that we're doing as far as training on integration is concerned. And finally, public health leaders across the country are really taking initiatives to address the barriers which are really preventing cross-sharing of data from surveillance systems across and within disease programs to improve our public health outcomes. So at CDC, we're very cognizant of the fact that we need the full participation of our partners to ensure success with this initiative. And as our partners, we are keen for you to play an important part in inspiring us and in inspiring others as we move forward with this priority. Now, you can provide local leadership by example and through your vision. And it really is going to be important as we move forward that you continue to play a role in the dialogue around program collaboration and integration. Now, developing the green paper on integration really helped us to also clarify what are some of the barriers and facilitators for integration. The Green Paper used a comprehensive review of the published literature to identify key themes which arose from peer-reviewed articles and reports on this issue. And we further supplemented these data from our site visits. Now, I won't go into many of the details of the barriers and opportunities for implementation of PCSI, but I'm highlighting them here on this slide for your reference. I do want to highlight that there are legislative, organizational, and personal barriers and opportunities to what we're trying to achieve. And whether these barriers are restrictions on the appropriation spendings or conflicting CDC policies on funding integrated services, or the perceived effort and time that it takes to provide more holistic services to clients, or perhaps our own weariness at collaborating with our colleagues. Nevertheless, I personally believe that these barriers are insurmountable. In fact, the opportunities for changing and influencing the ways in which we are currently doing our business is, in fact, great. New funding sources at CDC, such as the 2007 HIV testing initiative, the 2007 CDC hepatitis B vaccination initiative, have all provided us with new opportunities to look at opportunities for integrating our prevention services. And as we move forward, I want to encourage all of us not to become too mired down by our own perceptions of the barriers to collaborating with colleagues or integrating services for clients. We have certainly learned over the past 2 years that personal leadership and individual accountability are in fact some of the most important factors in overcoming barriers and seizing opportunities as they present to us. Finally, we have learnt the importance of identifying, disseminating, and encouraging best and promising practices. PCSI is in its early days yet, but we're already beginning to see some of the fruits of our early labour. For example, we've developed a new portal website for PCSI to ensure that information on integration and collaboration is disseminated as quickly as it becomes available and as we're able to collate the information for colleagues and partners in the field. There are other ways in which we've been working to ensure that we're disseminating best practices. At a personal level, I'm ensuring now that program collaboration and service integration is a regular item in monthly updates that I provide for my staff at CDC. We're now rewarding staff at CDC using both monetary and non-monetary mechanisms who've gone above and beyond their regular course of duty or course of actions to promote integration and collaboration, or who have shown additional leadership in collaboration and integration. We now ensure that PCSI is also included in our major prevention conferences, which are sponsored by CDC. And for many of you who were able to attend the HIV prevention conference last year, you'll remember that we were able to introduce for the first time a track on program collaboration and service integration, which really enabled us to focus on cutting-edge research as well as policy and program developments in this area. At this conference, we're able to also have new sessions related to PCSI in a variety of sessions, and our colleagues have already gone through these in some detail. But I want to again acknowledge the leadership of the conference organizers in ensuring that we're able to look at new program developments for integration and collaboration, population focus for integration, as well as looking at new techniques, whether it's for partner notification or surveillance, to support integration activities. Now, you can do some of these things to ensure that a culture of collaboration is built within your organization and with your staff. And I'm certain that many of you use these tools of rewarding positive leadership behaviors, of identifying opportunities for collaborations on a day-to-day basis. Again, what I believe is key is that we're consistent and clear in articulating this as a major organizational priority, that all staff are expected to know about integration and collaboration, that all staff are expected to contribute to integration and collaboration, and that success of the organization will only be achieved if we are resolute in our desire to have this success. Now, finally, as many of you know, no talk would be complete without me focusing on evaluation, in part because of the importance of this as a personal and organizational value for us at CDC. And as we move forward with program collaboration and service integration, it really will be important that we appreciate the need to ensure that we're doing so based on the best available evidence. Also, it's going to be important to ensure that we're constantly and critically reviewing the state of the literature on this issue so that we continue to improve our operations. Now, although it's too early to evaluate the impact of PCSI on the lives of everyday Americans utilizing our prevention services, I think there are other ways in which evaluation and increased accountability can really help to play a role. At CDC and within our national center this year, for the first time, we've developed specific business plans looking at collaboration and integration, and really using these business plans around integration to hold divisions accountable for key actions and interventions related to collaboration and integration. We have presented our vision and our progress on PCSI to our external steering committees and advisory committees at CDC. And this really is another mechanism of ensuring that we're continually evaluating what we're doing and holding ourselves accountable to making progress in a timely manner. We're working with our Board of Scientific Counselors at CDC to ensure that we're looking at the development of a research agenda around program collaboration and integration, and in turn, hoping to promote evaluation over time. So what can you do to promote program collaboration and service integration? Well, the purpose of my talk today was really to update you on where we are with rolling out this national initiative and to highlight ways in which we're changing the culture of our organization at CDC to facilitate the implementation and execution of this priority. In the final part of this talk, what I'd like to do is to reflect upon some key things that I think we can all do as individuals and as leaders in moving forward with integration and collaboration as we leave this conference. I think there's some things reiterating as I've gone through this talk. First of all, we need to be committed to service. One of the things that I'm always reminded about as we move forward with this priority that is that program collaboration and service integration is not about you or it's not about myself, but it's really about the people that we serve and the lives that we save every hour and every day. I've heard from various colleagues across the country that it's simply not right, and some of our colleagues have even said it's probably unethical for us to repeatedly miss opportunities to provide more holistic and integrated care for the prevention of HIV, STD, tuberculosis, and viral hepatitis. And this is especially so when we know that any patient diagnosed with any of our infectious diseases will be at high risk for acquiring or transmitting the rest of the diseases in the center. Indeed, when we know better, we must do better. We also want to be committed to action. Envisioning a better future for prevention services is perhaps the first step in achieving it. And I'm really proud that CDC, working in partnership with many of you in this room, is finally stepping up to the plate and providing national leadership in this area. But we're doing so on the shoulders of giants, many of you giants in this room, who have been doing collaboration and integration every day. There are leaders across the country, however, who continue to remain in the comfort zones of vertical planning, of vertical or blinkered thinking, and leaders who simply refuse to explore opportunities for collaboration or integration, especially when it would be appropriate, effective, and cost-effective to do so. Consequently, opportunities for accelerating health impact are missed, and lives are affected. Indeed, we must hold ourselves and our colleagues accountable as we move forward, as we think about our commitment to action. We must also be committed to evidence-based public health practice as we move forward. In part, science should inform our program, and so too should program inform science. And we must be committed to ensuring that we're asking and answering the program-relevant and program-appropriate research questions on program collaboration and integration. We must ensure that we enlist the best minds, the best research minds, in addressing these issues. We must take responsibility for ensuring that the results of these studies are disseminated widely and expeditiously so that others across the country can identify and implement best practices and limit waste and inefficiency in reinventing the wheel. We must be committed to partnerships, and I encourage all of you to commit to this as we move forward. One of my favorite African proverbs states that if you want to walk fast, walk alone, but if you want to walk far, walk with others. And clearly, we cannot do this alone. But I believe that together we can develop innovative and cost-effective ways of collaborating and integrating our prevention services. But we should not fool ourselves into thinking that there will not be a cost to working across organizational boundaries. One of the lessons that I've certainly learned as I've moved forward on promoting collaboration and integration across federal agencies is that this actually takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. It requires us to look beyond the boundaries of our programs and to think about a broader mission. It requires compromise, knowing that sometimes if no one wins, everybody wins. It requires an investment of time, and this investment must be regular, focused, and purpose-driven. And it requires accountability as well, because the success of the whole will be predicated upon the success and the strengths of the individual partners. We must also be committed to timely implementation, ensuring that collaboration and integration becomes a defining characteristic of our leadership and of our organization. I'm going to challenge you all to look for opportunities to introduce collaboration and integration into your daily activities. Make it a part of what defines you as a leader in STD prevention. Make it a part of what your organization values, cherishes, and supports. Make sure your staff are given clear expectations of what is required of them in their annual work plans and in their performance evaluations. Reward good leadership behaviors and successes when they occur, and identify champions for implementation, and remember to celebrate success along the way. So in closing, I hope that I've provided you with a sense of program collaboration and integration as one of our National Center's national strategic priorities, and have given you some insight into how we are beginning to implement what I think is an exciting initiative. We're still at a relatively early stage in the implementation of this priority, but just as Rome was not built in a day, we are unlikely to achieve this true vision and full potential within a matter of months. I sincerely hope, however, that what characterizes our endeavor as we move forward is a commitment to excellence in program and excellence in science that informs and influences program. And I will end this talk, as I began, by really saying that CDC continues to stand on the shoulders of so many of you in this room who day by day, week by week, try to collaborate across programs and you try to integrate your services, often within difficult circumstances and context. And you have done this and you continue to do this because you know that it's the right thing to do for your clients, despite what organizational structures, funding streams, or other infrastructures sometimes lead us to believe. I therefore want to thank you for your leadership and your commitment to STD prevention. I want to thank you for your commitment to serving others, and we look forward to your continued support as we move on the journey ahead. Thank you very much.
We do have a couple of minutes if there's one, several questions. Anybody have questions for Dr. Fenton? Take this opportunity. It's not often you get to speak to the big guy.
Thank you for your presentation. That was very inspiring. At the local level, if we are moving forward with program collaboration and integration, how might we approach evaluating that, and are there some modules or tools or people who can serve as resources to us for that?
Great, thank you so much for that question. There are a couple of ways to approach that. First of all, is thinking about what particular interventions you're going to be integrating at the local level, and to reach out to your program officers or your project consultants to assist in identifying, especially CDC project officers and consultants, to help you to identify ways in which CDC resources may be leveraged to help you to evaluate your integration activities. What we're also hoping to do at CDC is, over time, to have a central repository, not only of best and promising practices, but also a central repository of evaluations which have been done in the field, so we can begin to share methodologies across jurisdictions. Finally, I also want to note that there is tremendous leadership being provided by agencies such as NASTA and NCSD, who are really thinking about some of the important evaluation questions for PCSI, and will be working, I'm sure, in very close relationship with CDC as we move forward on this priority to identify priorities for evaluation so that resources can be used to support that. So that's really going to be an important part of moving forward with this priority.
Okay, one more question, then we'll hear the final remarks from Dr. Douglas.
Thank you for your vision and leadership on PCSI. I have a question about a couple of possible partnerships that I didn't hear you mention. At CDC, the Division of Adolescent and School Health, DASH, has had for a number of years a national collaboration and integration effort to prevent STD, HIV, and teen pregnancy prevention. And I wonder, that's one group that I didn't hear you mention. And then part of coming out of that is also the issue of so many family planning funds coming out of Health and Human Services, a completely different bureaucracy than CDC. And I'm sure there are barriers to working across those institutions, but I'm wondering what's happening with working cross-institutionally with Office of Population Affairs.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your question, and you're absolutely right. There are opportunities for integrating and collaborating across CDC agencies, and in fact, there are lots of great examples of where those models have actually worked at CDC, and we will continue to promote those for staff within our national center with other national centers across the agency. In terms of collaboration across federal agencies, that has been traditionally seen as being a very difficult thing to do, in part because the agencies are often quite blinkered and focused on delivering their effective services or interventions quite in a very linear way. There are mechanisms which we're putting in place across federal agencies where leaders are now creating infrastructures to promote better coordination and communication across agency heads. So for example, I meet with agency heads for HRSA, for SAMHSA, for the Office of Population Health, and other key offices in HHS on a fairly regular basis. It could be improved to really talk about new interventions and new opportunities for collaboration. But more specifically, what you may have heard at this meeting is ways in which we're building even stronger relationships with individual agencies. So for example, some of our work with SAMHSA on methamphetamine use, some of our work with HRSA on testing, routinizing HIV testing or opportunities for STD screening in community health centers. So there are lots of collaborations which are occurring between agencies, perhaps on a one-to-one level. As we think forward on this whole issue of collaboration across federal agencies, we need to look at ways of strengthening these relationships. We're developing, for example, MOUs with the State Department, which will really help to codify what we want to achieve, what the vision for collaboration will look like, and what we could do on an annual basis. So lots of ways in which we're moving forward with this across federal agencies as well.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Fenton.